Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are going to be discussing two Netflix shows, I Think You Should Leave season 3 and Selling Sunset season 5. Is that right?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Six too. Sounds like too many, but maybe it is. Who cares?
They just really cranked them out.
Doesn't really matter.
It's,
I guess.
Six. It's, wow. Six. That's wild.
That really is.
Six seasons in 4 years.
Six seasons in a movie.
They couldn't be more different from each other, but they are both streaming on Netflix, and we had watched both of them and could discuss them, so that's what we're discussing.
And you'll take what we give you.
Yes, you will, and we just hope you fall into that middle Venn diagram just like we do. Okay, TV news, though. What have you learned this week?
Well, something that I've been like bombarded with ads for this, including podcast ads, and it's for the new Marvel Disney Plus TV show. Have you seen anything about this?
It's so funny that we were just comparing an ad off air previously.
Yeah.
And our ads, I guess, are just on a really different wavelength right now, because no, I haven't heard a single thing about it.
Ugh. Well, I don't know. I guess since I've literally only seen anything about it in ads, not anyone actually talking about it, which doesn't really inspire confidence.
Not a good sign.
But it's called Secret Invasion, which is like such a bland name to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the cast is, it's like, I guess Samuel Jackson's character Nick Fury is like the main character, and Ben Mendelsohn from like Rogue One, and that, remember that HBO show we watched with Jason Bateman, and it was Stephen King?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Emilia Clarke is in it. Olivia Colman. Like,
what?
Okay, I'm just scrolling through. Dermot Mulroney's in it. And a bunch of other, like, Marvel C-list characters are in it. And so I'm like, those are really, like, famous people that are in it. And I was like, what am I seeing? This is just bizarre. So, but I did see that it is coming out on Disney Plus starting June 21st. But I'm just confused, because usually I feel like they do a better job pushing their Marvel shows.
Yeah, like, I literally haven't heard a single thing about this.
No, I was very
Marvel,
confused.
I'll never understand. I mean, I know I'm coming hot off of seeing Across the Spider-Verse, and I'm just like, bow down, give us more. I want this forever and ever.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, how come Marvel, I don't understand how, like, the Marvel Universe can put out such great things and then such bad things at the same time.
Well, because that was not Disney Marvel, it's Sony Marvel, and that
that makes sense.
Clear, yeah. One's really interesting and exciting and unique, and the others, actually, let me pull up. I saw this quote. I might have retweeted it. I don't know, but I saw this quote from the makers of the Spider-Verse movies. Lord and Miller, and it was a really good quote, because I was like, yes. And it was in the Rolling Stone interview with them, and the Rolling Stone had said, oh, like, there's people talk about superhero fatigue, like, how did you guys evade that, what's the secret? And one of them was like, I don't think it's superhero fatigue, I think it's a movie that feels like a movie I've seen a dozen times before fatigue. And I was like,
yes.
Oh my gosh. Like, that is a mic drop moment. And I could not agree more. Like, it's so formulaic. And the Spider-Verse movies are so not formulaic, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a soapbox moment. But.
Loved it. And I just, I'm glad we got to get in a little bit of discussion on Across the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
Even if it came from my dumbness.
Well, I saw it with my sister, and she said the same thing. She was like, wow, that was like, that, like, kudos to Marvel. And was like, No, do not credit Disney's MCU with the Spider-Verse. They're different. This is Sony, not Disney. Unfortunately for Disney.
Yeah, I think I just assumed that Sony was like an added sponsor, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
And like provided with like production, and like I didn't realize they were their own entire thing. Interesting.
I know. Well, Spider-Man in particular, it was like a lot of drama for Disney to get the rights to even do Spider-Man because blah, blah, blah. It's just not that interesting. And now they do have the rights. But I guess they can all still make independent Spider-Men. I do always have them stuck in my head from Kimmy Schmidt when Titus is auditioning for Too Many Spider-Men, the musical. It's like Spider-Man 8 or something. And so I've had that song stuck in my head for a little while. So confusing.
That's hilarious. Well, we'll see if we see any updates or reviews on the Invader show. What's it called again?
Secret Invasion? That is the worst name. That doesn't mean anything to me personally. No. Just words.
No.
Just random words.
Weird.
Anyway.
My main piece of news is that the Golden Globes was acquired by Dick Clark Productions and Eldridge. So like the Hollywood Foreign Press is like shutting down. I just thought that was really interesting, and I've just like never even realized that like something like that could be like purchased.
Yeah.
And
it's very weird. Speaking of confusing,
yeah,
rights and ownership and stuff. Oh, mm-hmm. Well, don't let the door hit you on the way out, I guess. So yeah, it'll be very interesting. And like, will the Golden Globes feel any different with the new ones or what? It'll be very interesting or not interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I saw this tweet thread that said that Dick Clark Productions also is owned by the same person who owns Deadline, Variety, and The Hollywood Reporter, which all benefit from the For Your Consideration ads. So that is kind of messy and a little interesting.
Mm-hmm. Conflict of interest.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I don't have, it's very, it's all
I know nothing
over
about
my head.
It.
But I like it. It feels insidery. Unfortunately for us, because we loved this show, I Love That For You was canceled by Showtime. Very sad. Really wanted to see what was going to happen next.
Extremely sad for everyone involved, but especially Matt Rogers.
Yeah. He was so good in it. He should be a household name, and now it's one way he won't be.
Seriously. There will be another path for him, but
it wasn't meant to be, apparently, but that was a good show. Sad to see it go.
It was a great show. I haven't watched Ted Lasso yet, but I know that it just ended. And I just thought that it was really interesting. I saw this tweet. I don't even know if it's true, but after talking to someone who has watched the show, they're saying that it kind of seems like they're trying to set it up to like keep going without Jason Sudeikis' character and like have some spinoffs. And
would it have the same name?
I have no idea. Like the original tweet was by Apple, and it shows like the other coaches.
Was it like the three? They're like the three of them standing. I saw that and I was like, don't know, don't care.
And it said like, and the tweet said, smells like potential. And so this quote tweet was like, not Ted Lasso having its big finale week only to immediately start teasing a new season with everybody except its lead. And I'm like, if they are doing that, so help me. But that's, I don't know. This is all hearsay. I just wanted to bring it up to be like, I don't like it.
Well, it is just so weird that, like, no one knows definitively if they just watched the season finale or the series finale. That is just diabolical.
And that's on gaslighting.
Yes! They are! Just like Jason Sudeikis does in his real life. Probably. Wow, very, very weird. And I like watching it from the sidelines because I also have not watched the new season.
Yeah.
I didn't hear, fun. I haven't heard, maybe I've talked to one person who said it was great. Everything else I've heard has been very, very on the fence. So I haven't been that inspired to watch it. Also, I actually did just pause my, not just a couple, maybe a month ago, I paused my Apple TV subscription for now because I was like, I'm not actively watching this. I can just restart it when I need to for
smart
$7 or whatever they raised it to.
Mm-hmm. My mom did try to tell me that she liked the Ted Lasso finale better than the Succession finale, and I wow. almost died inside. And I said, that's like saying a show on the CW is better. And she's like, I know, it just is so like feel good. And I was like, I don't like that.
I don't like feeling good. I like feeling bad. That is funny. I just had a flashback to when the first Hunger Games movie hadn't come out yet, or maybe it had. And my mom was like, I didn't think that Josh Hutcherson was right for PETA. And I was like, wow, then how could you ever understand me?
Oh, that is amazing and still true.
I know.
To
I know
all the PETA haters out there.
We don't talk about that conflict. Mm-mm. I don't know if she's changed her mind. She probably hasn't. Yeah, it's a mystery, and I don't like that they are dangling this mystery over everyone's heads because they know that Ted Lasso is like their most popular show, you know?
No, it feels like it really feels like I don't like when TV shows, musicians, anyone kind of uses their audience to like kind of baits them into like uses them in a way that feels icky to me, and that's what it feels like to me. I don't know how to mm-hmm. explain other than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Apple TV Plus, and actually speaking of Lord and Miller, the Spider-Verse guys, because they do the after party, and they dropped a trailer for the new season that drops on July 12th. And the new trailer, I liked it. I thought it was really pretty funny, and it looks like it's another good cast, and this time it takes place at like a wedding reception kind of situation. And so they're going through like the different characters, like the weird sister and like the mother of the bride and things like that. And I was like, okay, this looks cute. And I thought it looked fun. And one person that I had forgotten is in it is Anna Conkle. Is that her mm-hmm. name? Is that her full name?
Yeah. Her Instagram handle is Anna Ryan Conkle, so maybe that
sounds way more right to me, because people just become their handles in my brain. But she plays like the weird sister, and I was like, wow, is this going to be inspiration for me at my brother's wedding this summer?
Oh my gosh, it's perfect. Too bad it airs after.
I know, the week after, the week that we go to Taylor Swift.
I was going to say, I guess you know what we're doing, but we'll be busy.
We'll be very busy.
The only other thing I had bookmarked was that Naomi Watts and Billy Crudup got married. And that's just because I thought, that's interesting.
We just branch out into like celebrity news. He's in the morning show. That's him, right?
Or yeah.
Yeah. So
he is in a TV show.
There you go. Actually, I just have one more thing, and it is that they announced this week that they are going to do, there's two more Drag Race seasons coming. One is Canada versus the World season 2, and Canada Drag Race season 4. And currently on is I believe, Drag Race Spain, España, and I think there's also another one, and they also just announced Drag Race Mexico, France. Like, it's a full-time job to watch everything.
How do they keep this stuff, like, organized?
Literally, I have no clue. And the Canada ones are surprising because they did a UK versus the world, and then they did Canada versus the world, where they just have, like, it's cool because they have queens from international queens, so it's, like, it's fun and kind of, like, you get to know queens that you might not have seen ever before. And so I was like, oh, why are they doing another Canada versus the world? Like, I'd like to see other countries too. It's also very confusing.
I might be asking another confusing question because the whole Drag Race world is confusing in general to me. But are all of those going to be available on Paramount Plus? Or are they all, like, different streaming services?
It's not Paramount Plus. You have to get Wow Presents Plus. They have all the international seasons.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
But yeah, it's overwhelming, you know? It's like...
Truly.
Well, I guess if everything's making money, it makes sense to keep doing it. But it seems like build more excitement by taking breaks in between, you know?
Yeah, I would think so too. And, like, gain viewers. But yeah, if it's working for them, who am I to judge? Literally no one. I'm just a girl with a podcast.
The thesis statement of this podcast.
All right. For our top three, we're just going to name our top three favorite sketches from I Think You Should Leave season three. But first of all, how did you like season three?
I mean, I always have a blast. I always love it. It's super fun. I will say season one started auto-playing when I finished season three. And I was like, wow, I really don't think they'll ever be able to top season one. It was just like kind of magical and I hadn't seen anything really like it before. And in the first episode, I was like, every single one of these sketches is a total banger. They are all hilarious. And I think season one has a couple ones that to me are kind of more filler because they didn't resonate with me. But watching that first episode, I was like, geez, these are all amazing. And so season one, I think, can never be topped, but I still have a blast every time they drop a new season.
Yeah, I agree. Watching season three, I was like, I'm not laughing that much at, like, most of these, but this happened when I watched season two too. And I think it is just like it's kind of a watch them all and then see which ones I'm still thinking about and laughing about afterwards. And, like, when I'm recounting them to people who have also watched them, like, those are the ones that, like, end up sticking out to me. And when I was looking at all of them for the top three, I was like, oh yeah, and this one, and this one, and this one. So, like, they usually come out, but, like, when I first watched it, I was like, I don't know. I feel like this season isn't that funny, but I changed my tune a little bit, and I mean I still love it, but I think I agree with you. I think season one is hard to beat, but season three still had some goodies.
Totally. I think you're right, where sometimes, like, there's one in particular that I want to discuss after hearing your top three, because it's not in my top three, but I laugh more at references to it that I see online than, like, when I was actually watching the sketch. Like, okay. The memes crack me up.
I'm trying to guess which one it is. And is it the driving crooner?
Yeah.
Because how did same. You know? Like, literally, the sketch itself, I was like, I don't know what is happening. But then every single meme is the funniest meme on the entire planet. And I, like, couldn't be liking them fast enough.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, that is so funny. No clues, and you knew exactly which one it was. Because you could probably say that about like any sketch of all, like a reference to it. Like, so, like the more it kind of marinates out there, it's like it does, I think, get funnier. And that one, I don't know. It just I was like, I don't know if I laughed out loud while watching it, but it is really, really funny to me now.
Like just today I saw a meme of, it was like someone had put it on the window of like Trump's car and it was just so funny.
Oh my gosh.
It said he's trying to figure out how to make money off of this. It's like Trump under arrest.
They're trying to make it look fake. They're trying to make it look fake. Oh, that's good. That is really funny.
Okay, what's your number three favorite sketch?
My number three is the when he's paying it forward at the drive-thru. That was really funny. Because I think this show, in general, is at its best when it's making a sketch. Like, it's taking something real from life, and it's, like, way too extreme. And, like, that is the thing. I think I've had someone do that to me once where they like, oh, I'll pay for the car behind me, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, wow, that's nice. And I was like, well, now do I have to do it? And it's like, so then just like taking it to the way too far is just so, I just thought that was so funny.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was trying to explain this show to someone earlier today and I said almost verbatim the exact same thing. Like, I think it, the funniest skits are the ones that are like, and like most of them actually are this way, but it's just like taking a normal everyday thing, like specifically like office culture, is why like it is so relatable and funny to me. It's because I work in an office and like really truly like experience these things. And so, yeah, when that one came on, the pay it forward, I was like, oh yeah, this is like, of course you could like make a good bit out of this. But I, so I was kind of like, oh, this is kind of predictable. But then once it was going, I was like, oh yeah, this is like out of control and was very funny. Speaking of office culture, I'm gonna say my number three was the bad egg at the office.
That's my number one, to be on, to just get ahead of it. The computer game one.
Everything about it.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that one I had to put number one because I feel like that one made me actually LOL the most times. It was just so weird. And the little animation of the naked egg was the nude, sorry, nude egg. Was like the weirdest, funniest thing I've ever seen ever.
It just like whose mind? Who had to draw the egg?
Oh my gosh. And like so the game at work and then like this really intense work conversation while you're trying to play this stupid game.
So funny.
That's hilarious.
Sorry, I stole your number one.
Oh, that's okay. I like that.
Because we'll probably have overlap.
Yeah, we probably. I feel like there's really clear standouts.
I mean, we do, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My number two is the zipline bachelorette one.
That's my number one.
It was so, so funny.
Because I feel like that would be me. I would feel awkward and uncomfortable in that kind of situation of being on a TV show like The Bachelor. And so I would like need something to do and like keep me occupied, and a zip line sounds perfect.
Well, it's so funny because like they put you up in these, like there's a nice pool and there's like fun stuff to do, but like it kind of seems like you never actually get to enjoy them if you're a contestant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I would be taking advantage of the resort as well. That one was, it was so funny. When they're like, how's your connection with her?
Good.
Like shoveling food in his mouth to get to the zipline. Sorry, what were you going to say?
And how they brought in the zipline worker guy.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I always appreciate when they have specific skits that always come back around, and there's like a part two later on in the season. So I was glad that that was one of them.
Also, just his face and body language when he's on the zip line is so funny. Like, he doesn't look like he's having fun at all. Like, he looks angry. The whole thing's just,
it's like,
so
he's
good.
Trying to, like, that's the competition. He's like trying to like beat the zip line.
Yes. He's like, yeah, he's like angry doing the zip line. Oh, it's so funny. Also, just like the way that the production level changes, so it literally looks like from an episode of The Bachelor, like the camera and the the writing on the screen and stuff. Like, it's just so perfect. So good.
It's incredible. And like the way that Tim Robinson can like transform and look like a completely different person sketch to sketch, but also he's like usually kind of doing the same thing in each sketch.
Yeah.
It's just like so funny to me. And it's just wild how he can look like the, he can look hot and then he can look so wild.
I know. Well, I'll never forget that video that Rachel Antonoff posted of him like kind of doing a little interview thing on her Instagram, wearing like one of her sweaters. Yeah. He looks very cute and he's like acting normal, and it's like very confusing.
I said my number one is actually, I don't know now. I'm gonna say the ponytail one. I just think that
so
that
good.
One because it's like something I think about all the time when cars like stop in the middle of over a driveway or like across or a sidewalk. And like now I can just think about the ponytail guy every single time. And I'm very excited to have a little bit of a laughing moment when I see that.
Totally. Oh, it's so funny. Plus, Will Forte is just like so funny and weird when he pops up, especially in this show too, that it's like, it's just, I love that one. That's one of my bonuses. For sure.
Any other bonuses that we should discuss?
I loved the guy who's like debating on the TV show, and he's like, and if I'm losing, I have no problem just going on my phone. Like,
oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot about that one because that was relatable too.
It really was. He's like, I have no problem being on my phone for hours and hours and hours. It was great. I loved it.
The problem I had is that I watched the first half of the season right when it dropped, but then I made myself save the second half for later. And now I feel like I've already kind of forgotten everything that happened in the first half. And wow, that one was really good.
It was very funny, very relatable and quotable.
I also loved the silent performer that builds a hostile fan base. That was one where I was like, when I was watching it, I was like, I don't know what's happening, but now I just keep thinking about it and it's really funny.
That one is, it's just so, because that one is like not a relatable situation and yet it works.
It totally works.
One thing, this one I felt like was gross because he barfed in it, but the one where but it was still really funny when he gets, the dad at the wedding is so mad because 3 seconds is not enough time to think of a funny pose for a photo. That's relatable too.
Very relatable. And it was so shocking when he threw up.
It was so gross.
Like, as soon as he started funny. Posing with the feather down his throat, I was like, no, no, no. The last one I had noted was the Amanda don't say Randall is interesting skit, because that one also felt very relatable.
Wait, I don't remember that one now.
That's the one where she like says that he's interesting, like when he's like, oh, I thought it was a volcano outside about to erupt.
Forgot about that one.
It's like, really, there are specific people where like, even if you think one thing they said is funny, you cannot tell them because then they will take it to an extreme and then you're finding yourself in a really bad situation.
Oh man, that one is so funny. One other work one that I don't think I was laughing that much, but it was really funny when that lady says that joke, like, back away, banana breath. And then she's like laughing at her own joke for so long, and they're like, are you okay? She's like, I'm gonna be really great. And it, like, it's like sunlight emitting from her face because she just loves that back away banana breaths. Like, something that I was laughing about while watching that one was, okay, we have to think of like a joke that literally no one would think is funny ever. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes no sense. It's so stupid. And I really like imagining them coming up with that. Back away banana breath. What'd you do? Eat a banana? Like, that's like something a little kid says, like, as a riddle or whatever.
And like, I know I've experienced that where, like, I say something that, like, no one else gets or thinks it's funny, but, like, I think it's the funniest thing in the whole world, so I'm still laughing about it. Yeah. And then, like, the making t-shirts.
Yes. For, like, an HR seminar. Oh, yeah, man.
I loved her.
So funny. Yeah, I loved that. I also do like when it's a sketch and Tim Robinson isn't even in it. Because I do...
I was just going to say the same thing.
I also, even if he's in it, I like when he's not the weird person. Like, it's like, it's fun when someone else gets to be weird. And
he gets to be the normal guy. It's like a little off-putting.
Yeah. It's fun.
Well, I loved it. And, well, they're so rewatchable and discussable. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm making it a word.
I think it is.
So, I was sad. I miss having Caperland or John Reynolds featured in any of them. Mm-hmm. And the Patty Harrison.
Or John Early. You said the wrong John.
What did I say?
You said John Reynolds, which is like so close.
What is wrong with me?
It's so funny because John Reynolds' name is way harder to remember than John Early's name. So I'm actually impressed.
That's so weird that I did that. Especially because in our last episode, you just said our friend John P. And I was like, no one else is going to know who that is other than us.
Literally no one. And and it's funny because you said it without the P.
Well, sometimes this podcast is just a little special thing for me and you.
100%. Our friend John P. Everyone would be like, John... Hold on. Now I want to Google if there is anyone that's even remotely famous whose last name starts with P. John.
Piper John, Ferguson.
John Proctor from The Crucible. No, the other one. Anyways.
Yeah.
That's so funny. And dumb.
I think I was saying the Patty Harrison one, it wasn't that funny to me. And so I wish I had another Patty Harrison one.
Me too. The only part that I really laughed at, she's funny, whatever she does, like just her physicality,
physical acting
is hilarious. Yeah. But the only line that I really laughed at was when she's like, I'm a rat mom or something. That was pretty funny. But yeah, it was almost that like was too good. Realistic, like almost too well acted to be laughing at it. Almost. Yeah. It was like kind of it just like wasn't really that jokey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. It was interesting, but she was still, yeah, great. But she should be in like four of the sketches of the season.
Yes. I agree. I wish I had a better transition from I think you should leave to Selling Sunset, but I've got nothing. So I'm just going to casually move on to Selling Sunset.
Sometimes that's the best segue you can do. Talk about how there isn't really a segue.
How did you feel about season 6?
I thought it was ridiculous. Like, they, I feel like they do keep getting more and more ridiculous each season. Not necessarily a bad thing, but I was actually surprised at how much they could do, especially towards like the second half of the season, without Christine, because I really had my doubts about what they were going to do. I think it's never felt like faker. I felt like it felt like so much was being written, but that awful dinner party that they have, like, in Palm Springs, where, like, Chriselle just makes all those drug crackhead accusations, which I was like, that was, I don't know if that was scripted. That felt like she says, was,
yeah, I've seen you on mushrooms.
Oh, like, it was just like,
Chriselle.
It was just, so I feel like they still managed to kind of, like, surprise me. And that was one of the surprising things where I was like, Chriselle, like, you can't just do that. She feels like untouchable, and then it proves that she was not untouchable, basically. But yeah, I wouldn't say that I like loved it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I struggled with this season more than any of the others. Like, I was like bored until close to the very end. And then, like, I felt like I was being, like, super nitpicky with the drama that they were choosing to, like, discuss. Like, for example, the Amanza stuff. I felt like they were trying to make this big deal and make us think that Amanza, like, had cancer. But then they never actually said if she did or not. And then it was, like, a secret. So I was like, if you're going to put this on the show, like, make it a bigger deal. Mm-hmm. But, like, I just felt really confused by that plot line. And that girl that, whoever she is, that Chriselle was fighting with, I was confused by her the whole time, and I did not like her at all. Even though I wasn't Team Chriselle in their fighting. But that girl just really rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, I think that she is part of why this season felt so fake, because it felt like she was like a really bad actor, and that's really weird on what's supposed to be a reality show, you know? Like, I was like, wow, are all the other ones like good actors? Like, because it just felt very like, yeah, like I felt very uncomfortable in all of her scenes, and the drama up until that dinner party blow up, the drama was like kind of embarrassingly flat between her and Chriselle. It was like, even the other people in the cast are telling you that was so long ago, and people always like share credit for each listing or whatever the drama was. It was like, is that literally all your only way to get into the show, is like to bring up these like really dull rivalries you had with Chriselle a million years ago? Like, it just was like,
yeah, like make
not
some
good
new drama.
Yeah, like it. So that was, I did not think she was a strong addition.
No, and like Mary's whole plot line was like, you know how people always say like, it's really lame and boring to talk about how busy you are. That was Mary's whole plot line. She was the Tom being like, I'm so tired. Bedtime for Bonzo. Like, she was like, I'm so busy. And that was her whole thing.
I feel like Jason was really gross this season. I felt very uncomfortable around him and his really tall, really young girlfriend. And I thought that was, I think,
now ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, now they are no longer together. Maybe she watched the season or something and got the ick. But like, I also thought it was really unfair when he kept trying to say that Chriselle was like the same as him dating someone younger. And it was like, Chriselle is younger than you, and G Flip is older than your girlfriend. So stop. Like,
agreed.
I don't know. He's closer to 50, and I think that his girlfriend was like closer to 20 or something. Like, there was a bigger gap, and I thought that was annoying. Like, people trying to justify, like, make Chriselle out to be gross when he's way grosser.
Well, and it's like, when men are older, it's grosser because, like, this thing where it's like, men are only attracted to young women. So like it's not the same. It's literally not the same.
No, it's not. So yeah, he was really something. I heard someone else say this, so this was not my own thought, but it's interesting that he has like producer credit and he really like allowed himself, like the character of him, to be such a kind of a dirtbag this season. It was kind of interesting because he signed off on it, but I don't think he came off looking
Thinks he looks cool. I think he thinks he looks cool.
It's kind of an insight into his own personality of like how he wants to come across, mm-hmm. I guess, which is just lovely. So
yeah. The one thing I was going to say I enjoyed was I really liked Bree. I think she was a great addition.
Love Bree.
And I loved any scene she was in, and I'm excited to see how she takes it.
Yeah. I felt like she was the most interesting because of the whole Nick Cannon aspect. And mm-hmm. Also, I feel like she was the most mature and like the least annoying. So yeah, she was the MVP for me. Also.
Yeah, me too. Anything else?
The only thing is that I thought Chelsea was annoying.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was embarrassing watching her be so determined to be so rude and so close-minded.
It literally, it was like, I'm from Utah. Like, I feel like I grew up in a bubble. And like, these girls live in LA. Like, they cannot be this sheltered. Like, the way they were acting and the things they were saying was like truly mind-boggling to me, because like it just felt like they had come out of the early like 1800s or something.
Yeah. And that also kind of weird. It was, and she was like digging in so much on it that almost felt fake. Two almost, they're like, oh, let's have someone be just scandalized by by Bree or something like that. I don't know. It's just it's just a little silly. But yeah, it was a very lame finale too. Lame drama. Like Heather.
Oh yeah,
Heather was being cuckoo all season, and the fact that the final fight of the season was Heather and Chelsea saying, I thought we were better friends, that you wouldn't talk to other people before me. And they were like, guess not. And I was like, what? I was like, I feel like the final argument should almost be kind of like, what has this all the drama been building to? Like, it would make more sense to be like Nicole and Chriselle, or even Bree and Chelsea, kind of. Mm-hmm. But then like Heather and Chelsea, it was very wah-wah for me. But oh well.
I totally agree. Will I watch the next season? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'll see what's going on with them, but I'll judge them and make fun of them the whole time.
Exactly. It's the part of the fun. Crush of the week. Who do you have?
I'm going to give it up to... Oh, I can give it to Jason Schwartzman.
That's mine too.
So cute. Love a short king. He's one of the iconic short kings, one of the first short kings I ever loved. And here he is all over the place.
That is special.
Yeah.
He literally is blowing up right now. It's actually very fun to see. I've been thinking about him a lot because I don't know if I've mentioned on this podcast. I feel like I've made it like my whole personality, but I read this really long Vogue article about the making of the Marie Antoinette movie. And like it's very in-depth. And I learned so many things that I didn't know before. And one of the things that I like have been nonstop thinking about is how he like tried to gain a lot of weight for the role. And so he would set an alarm for 3 a.m., wake up, eat an entire plate of donuts, and then go back to sleep. And, anyway, I thought that was just very interesting, and yeah, he looked cute in I Think You Should Leave, shockingly, and his character was actually funny. He wasn't one of the crazy wild ones in that skit.
Totally. Wow.
And yeah, love him in Across the Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm.
His voice is soothing to my soul, even as a villain.
So good.
All right. Well, two Netflix shows that have nothing to do with anything other than being on Netflix, and we watched them both. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.